When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This week on the Danny Brown Show.
I lived in Detroit 40 some years, man.
Damn. Now you understand how I was an alcoholic now.
But being, you know, in that fucking bass, I felt that under my feet. Like, God. That's what I want. I want that shit to fucking, like, rattle my balls, you know? So when I get that tingly feeling, like, oh, yeah, this shit's going.
Come a little bit in my pants.
Yeah. It just makes me just that more excited, man.
It's the Danny Brown Show. Sit back, relax, you already know why you make studio. It's the Danny Brown Show. We about to get live. Let's go. It's the Danny Brown Show. Sit back, relax. You already know why you make studios. It's the Danny Brown Show. We about to get live. Let's go.
Yo. What up, dog? It's the Danny Brown Show coming to y'all live from YMA Studios here in Austin, Texas. I got the Booth Boys with me. How y'all fellas doing?
Yo.
What's up, Danny? What's up, man?
We got none other than one of the funniest motherfuckers around. We got Ari Shaffir in the building. How
what?
You feeling, brother?
Let's go!
Ari, man, my boy.
Dude, your show was so fucking cool.
Oh, man, thank you, man. That meant so much for me for you to come through, man.
Not to come through, but like, damn, what a fucking vibe. What a fucking vibe. I mean, I know so little about that whole genre anyway. Mm-hmm. And it was just like, first of all, admit, you know, whatever. You and JPEG Mafia, I assume that was a band.
Really?
Yeah. I don't know shit about anything. But
we did have a band at that show, though.
Yeah.
We had a band. They was dope. That was dope. Yeah. That was my first time ever working with a fucking band on stage. Because
really?
To me, hip-hop supposed to be a fucking, you know, two turntables and a microphone.
Yeah.
So I was never, like, really into, like, having live instrumentation on fucking. But I did see that it is a vibe when you
it's
got that
so
shit.
It's so much of a vibe. Dude, just sing. You got me seats up there, too, which I didn't know. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Mm-hmm.
And then you see this crowd packed in. I've been down there before. And then as soon as you guys say what's up, it just condenses.
Mm-hmm.
It's just so cool looking at it.
I'd be fucking, it was one thing. When I used to be all drunk and fucked up, I didn't used to give a fuck. You know, I used to be on stage like, yeah, kill each other, motherfuckers. But now, you know, I was seeing like little girls getting pushed over. Uh-huh. It was like, damn, y'all taking scared of hoes a little too literally. Like, you know what I'm saying? They're like, get these bitches out of here. Punching motherfuckers. I'm like, hold up, man. That's not what we meant.
Dude, I had to grab a girl. She was going down, and I grabbed her. But it's a tight line between grabbing somebody and fondling them.
Oh, yeah.
So, like, she falls, you, like, hold her up. And then I'm like, we're cool, right? She goes, thank you so much.
And it's not like we have that many women at our shows anyway. It's always a fucking sausage fest, you know?
Yeah.
But shouts out to the women that came through. They weren't
Shout
scared.
Shout out to the women.
You know, it was a fun time. And I was actually grateful that you came through because the last time you saw me before that, I was fucked up. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's Sober Danny.
You tried to, where were you taking me to the cellar, I think? Oh, yeah, they wouldn't let me in.
Yeah.
That was a fucked up night for me.
They're like, he can't come in. I was like, what? No. And they're like, nah, you got to go. Like, they gave me the code, which I've never heard.
What's the code?
We can't. 37 or whatever it was.
They were like, nah, he fucked up.
I was like, go ask the manager. I was like, what's 37 mean? It's Danny Brown. He can't come in. He goes, zero chance. Like, fuck. Because I worked door at clubs, and I was like, Dan, I got some bad news for you, buddy.
Yeah, it was all good. It's probably good that I didn't go, and I literally fucking passed out on the ride home.
Really?
Like, I was drinking that whole entire day.
Oh, right.
That was one thing about me where I during my alcoholic arc, I can't stand in hotels, man. They got that bar downstairs. It's called my name every time. I'd be like, I wouldn't have no intent. That's how I know I was really fucked up in the alcoholic, because I would never really have no intentions on drinking.
And
I would just be like, it'd be like 1 p.m. in the afternoon. I would like go downstairs and be like, maybe one drink won't be bad, you know? And I get that one drink, drinking by myself, all type of shit. I get one drink. One drink turns to four. Before you know it, by the time I got to do some shit, I'm already fucking drunk. Then I get to the place that I got to go to do impress or whatever the fuck. Then I'm drinking there. Then I'm drinking there. So when you saw me, I was literally a full day of drinking.
Yeah.
So I was definitely at the goal. When you saw me,
yeah, I know you're like, not. Then once you're drunk, you're like, this is not good decision making time.
No, I probably was blacked out at that point. Like, I didn't know. I was just fucking moving.
How are you feeling now with it?
It's been great, to be honest. Yeah. I'm just over 150 some days, you know. So that's been like 5 months or something. But like I say, man, the most thing that I feel the most is the no cigarettes thing, man. Like just stopping smoking cigarettes, because I had no intentions on that shit. That was just.
Well, why did you? I thought an AA would tell you not to quit smoking cigarettes for like a year.
Really?
Yeah, because they're like, you're gonna. It's the harder one to quit.
Yeah. No, but I've learned that tobacco industries. They use propaganda to tell us that quitting cigarettes are really hard when it's really not that hard to quit. You know, you quit anything for 3 days and you can fucking be done with it, to be honest.
It's 3 days is the big one. Yeah. 3 days, 3 weeks, 3 months, then you're fucking free. Then
I wouldn't say you're free. I'm not going to get overconfident with it. But, I mean, I just know I don't have any drive for that shit no more.
Right? If people are drinking around you, you're not like,
no, I want people to drink around me. Like, I think that that's the worst thing you can possibly do is try to run away from it.
Oh, right.
You know? Like, it was fucked up. Like, the first day I got out of rehab, I had to play a show. And it was like, man, I'm so used to always, you know, being nervous and shit. Like, I really feel like a big deal of my drinking started from touring.
Really?
And just being so nervous of going on stage, and I would have a couple drinks and get on stage. And then before I know it, I was having a whole bottle after a few years of doing that shit. And then... You know, and just being able to go out sober, it was so hard that first day. But now I'm starting to enjoy it, man. Because now I'm just actually feel the music. And, you know, I'm not really fucked up. And then just seeing, like, the people that enjoy the music, it's almost been like a therapeutic thing.
Dude, I had a couple beers, nothing much.
Yeah, okay? Yeah.
But, like, I felt like I was on Molly. I was telling her outside. It got me that feeling. I don't know if it's flashbacks from having taken too much over the years, but I was just like, I think I'm feeling it. I was walking away. I was still like, oh.
But that has been the hard part, I will say, is after a show. It's just that adrenaline rush from being on stage, and then you go back to your hotel alone, looking at the four corners.
Eat like, spaghetti on the bed.
Like, what the fuck am I supposed to do now? But after a while, I started to, you know, just get into my routine, and I started to enjoy that fucking solace of just being alone now. Like, just being so crazy of doing a show that day, having all the jitters and, you know, but then I started, one thing that I did notice that I stopped being nervous, where it was almost like I was excited to start to get on stage after a while. Because it was starting to be fun again.
Oh, wow.
You know? So I was like, I was excited. Like, yeah, let's get this shit over with, you know? But yeah, the hard part is just when it's over. Because I was just so used. I was always more worried about the damn after party than the actual show. I'd be on stage like, yeah, I got these bitches.
Let's hurry up.
I got this. Yeah, it's about to be the real show.
It's about to be a short show.
I'm about to really perform after this motherfucker. You know what I'm saying? So now I was like, fuck. But yeah, so you was able to see me at my most fucked up and then come to the fucking show and you seen I was fucking, it was damn near like a fucking AA meeting coming backstage with me.
That's right. How was that show compared to most of your shows?
Terminal 5 one?
Yeah.
That was the best show we did.
Oh, really?
Yeah, okay. I think, but it was because the sound.
It was fucking rules.
It was the best sound that we had. Like, especially with having a full band. I mean, the one we did the night before was at Pier 17, which is outdoors. Yeah. And you know, music instruments outdoors and shit. It's just, you know, the sound not bouncing off nothing. It's just going into the air, and it's just that. But being, you know, in that fucking bass, I felt it under my feet. Like, God, that's what I want. I want shit to fucking, like, rattle my balls, you know? So when I get that tingly feeling, like, oh, yeah, this shit's
just
going.
Come a little bit in my pants.
It just makes me that more excited, man.
It was fucking awesome. I mean, I was looking down there for like the first half, and I was like, I gotta get down there.
Yeah, and I looked up, you fucking moshing and shit. I'm like, what the fuck?
I mean, you see them all just fucking that crazy that I'm like, just quit with the punches.
Oh, shit,
give me a shove, I'm fine.
You got a fucking crowd surfing moment, man. It was fucking dope, man. Look at you. Turned up in that bitch, man.
Dude, I love surfing.
That was fucked up, man. Because I was like, these motherfuckers, the prior even know this fucking army out there, man.
I was trying to get up to him. I was looking at somebody. I was like, up. And he's like, yeah. I'm like, no. Get me up.
Oh, shit.
He's like,
Because I was on stage and I was peeping you. I was peeping you bobbing and shit. Then I looked up and you was gone. I was like, fuck, Ari fucking left. I'm like, he fucking bounced.
What a phony.
And then I look up, you in the fucking crowd going crazy. I was like, that's my nigga right there. He turned up in his bitch. And it just made me have that much more fun, man. So God, thank you so much for coming
through.
It was
so fun getting dumped off the front. And then, like, high five you. And I was like,
I don't know what is that whole thing about when they dump you out the front. What do they take? I always thought when you get dumped out the front, they kick your ass out the
I
show.
Used to think that too. You watch them up there; they're just playing plinko. They're just fucking playing guard. It's pretty fun. One of those jobs. You mm-hmm. see them coming, because they can't. They don't know where you're gonna go, and then they're all there about catching you, and you just got to go out and go back into the crowd from behind.
The craziest part was the motherfuckers, like they just were spraying water in motherfuckers' mouths. I was seeing that shit. I never seen that shit.
Yeah, popping them, spraying at people.
Yeah, and motherfuckers just they out there like little birds. Hold their mouth open. Everybody like, hit me with it. Hit me with it.
What a fun fucking night that was.
Yeah, man.
God damn.
Scaring the
walking
hoes,
home in New York too. I just felt like outdoor. I was like, fuck, I'm living. It was such a fucking show, dude.
I'm glad, man. You had a great time, man. Because I was really, you know, I don't know, man. I know for the most part, like doing stand up and shit and music, it's like. Just like two different worlds. Because even we was just talking about
overlap.
That.
It overlaps, yeah. But it's not a one-to-one.
But we were just talking about that. Like, even me, like, and we were saying, like, I've been around and, you know, going to comedy clubs and shit. And you would see this motherfucker do the same set for fucking years.
Yeah.
And you was just like, no, I'm doing all new shit tonight. And I'm like, what the fuck? How do you do that? Like, what is it, man? Like.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It just gets boring after a while.
Just doing the same. But see, that's what I'm saying. With music, I'm comfortable with doing the same set because it just me doing anything new is just giving me that much more of a percentage for error,
right?
You know,
can
like,
you get riled up though for a song you've done like 2 straight years or 10 straight years?
I mean, I'll go off the energy of the crowd,
right?
So, but that's the difference of, you know, because you got see, like, that's why I always, you know, I have the utmost respect for comedians and shit because you just
I don't there. Fuck them,
but no, seriously, man, you just up there by yourself, man. Like, oh, yeah. We hide behind the music, I can do some dance moves and shit, the bass is bumping, you know what I'm saying? It is what it is, but just being upstage, just being on stage with just me and a mic, and I got to entertain these motherfuckers, it's like yeah. That's like got to be the scariest shit in the world for me, man.
Yeah, in that way, it's harder.
Yeah, like, I really just, like, that's why I'm like, man, fuck that. I ain't never doing no fucking comedy, man. That shit is scary to me, man. Like, to be up on stage, like.
They're trying to get you to do it, right?
Yeah, man. I'd be like, no. They almost had me geeked up for a minute. I was like, fuck no. Y'all tripping.
You're going to fail. Like, that's the thing. You're not going to be like,
for 10 years straight. And it was like, motherfucker, I bombed at music for 10 years straight. You think I want to put myself through that fucking turmoil? Y'all trying to make me relapse. All right. We'll jump into some of these Ask Dannys, man. Hit me up, Danny, at thedannybrownshow.com.
Ask Danny!
First up, we got music videos. Hi, Danny. I'm 23-year-old filmmaker and photographer, and I'm looking to get more into music. But I love shooting music videos for my friends. I was wondering if you have any crazy or unique music video experiences. Huge fan, Ben. I don't really like shooting music videos, man.
Shooting them?
Yeah, it's like,
do you got to do the thing, do you say them out loud when, you know, when they show you singing, or do you do this thing like,
No, I actually just sing the song. I mean, you don't have to fucking like vocally project it as loud as you probably would in a song, but I'm still rapping along with it. But music videos are fucking like, I guess it's probably like anything else, like, cause I've done like TV shows and movies and shit too, so. Just being on set, shooting something for like 12 hours, it always go over the time they say it's going to fucking go. It never is fucking, you know, going to be like, you know, what they're going to fucking say is going to shoot. So, yeah. I mean, I don't know, man.
It's a lot of waiting around.
I'd rather have fucking animated videos where I ain't got to show up, man.
Here's my track. Enjoy.
And I'm always trying to have fucking cool-ass artistic music videos and shit. Uh-huh. And it's fucking me doing dumb-ass shit, man. So
what's the one with you as a kid? That was one of the best movies.
Yeah, because I had to do shit.
You weren't even there.
I just showed up at the end and walked. I had one scene in the whole video. And I fucking won an award for that video.
Did you really?
Yeah, I won a fucking Woody Award.
That kid ruled.
That made me. Oh, yeah. That kid is actually, he was actually in that Tracy Morgan TV show.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he played the son in that. He's fucking grown as fuck now. It made me feel so old. This motherfucker.
He's balding.
He got
like,
muscles
what?
And shit. I'm like, fuck, man. Like, fucking shouts out my dog Dante, man. But yeah, man, he killed that shit, man. So he was always a natural with that shit because they did like a crazy casting for that shit where they fucking had a whole bunch of kids
him
come
holding
to do that
hand
shit.
And just like,
yeah,
oh,
he killed that
so
shit.
Smooth.
Like, he knew that song fucking backwards and forwards by the time I showed up on set, man. So shouts out to Dante.
Damn.
But yeah, man, I'd rather music videos, man. I mean, it's great to have, man, but like, I
you got
really,
any favorite ones?
I would say.
Other people's.
Oh, other people music videos? Yeah. Oh, one of my favorite.
No, what about yours, if you have one of yours? But I mean, but then other people's also.
No, other people, I can talk about. I mean, one of my favorite music videos is Exhibit, What You See Is What You Get. And I bet you that was a bitch to shoot.
Really?
And which is like another video, which is my second favorite, which is pretty much a play on that video, which is Juel Santana, Santana's Town. So those two videos would be my favorite videos. And I would say, like, you know, certain people, you know, they always going to come with some dope videos. Like Kanye always got a dope fucking video.
I bet him in the big, the fucking fat suit.
With the little pump one?
The square suit.
The Roblox shit. That was...
the Dell at the end.
That was a good one. But yeah, this exhibit video, this is one of my favorite videos right here. I don't think we can play the music, can we? But I bet you this was a fucking bitch to shoot, though, man. It's like he just pretty much goes out into the world and just madness happens.
Really?
Once he's out into the world, he just had, I think he's supposed to go to the grocery store to get his girls some milk.
Follow him? Is it like one long thing?
Yeah, that's what another thing too, where you got to do these one long shots and everything. Everybody got to be on cue.
Yeah,
and the shits just happened. So yeah, and my, you know, Santana's Town was basically a play on this video, but it was still like my second favorite video. Wow. To this. Other than that, I would say
you
like
seen Crip Your Enthusiasm.
I love Curb.
No, Crip Your Enthusiasm.
Crip Your Enthusiasm.
It's
what?
Snoop rapping over the Curb song.
Oh no, that sounds.
It's just him driving an Eldorado, smoking and driving.
Oh man,
through Compton.
That sounds very Snoop Dogg like.
Yeah, it's cool. My favorite is like any okay.
Oh yeah, I did see this video before. Yeah, but yeah man, Snoop Dogg always got some crazy shit going on. Remember Snoop was like Jamaican for like a few years.
Oh yeah, Snoop Lion.
Yeah.
When are you gonna go through your reinvention stage?
He was a pimp.
Yeah,
he was a Jamaican. Like Snoop always reinventing himself, man.
Yeah.
Snoop be on Twitch falling asleep and shit. All right.
That's funny. Oh, this is a different one. The one I knew was him. Oh, this is a different one completely. That's hilarious.
Yeah, I guess he's Larry David.
Who does multiple videos?
Multiple videos, what you mean?
Multiple videos for the same song.
Oh, I mean, this almost looked like it's damn near animated type shit.
Yeah, it is.
All right.
Good audio.
But yeah, Snoop always make dope videos. I mean, well, not Snoop, but...
OK Go. Everything by OK Go is crazy.
Corn, the early Corn videos, really? Like Freak on a Leash and Gotcha Life.
Sabotage, one of the greatest ones.
Oh yeah, Sabotage was fucking crazy. Yeah.
That was early too, really.
Yeah, I always wanted to make a play on that video, kind of, man. But I feel like, I'm pretty sure somebody else done that shit. Rocky, he always make dope videos. Tyler, Rocky and Tyler, they make dope videos. But yeah, man, I would say, man, shooting videos is hard, man.
Yeah.
It's hard. It's not something that...
We got to do one. The comics have to do one for you.
I would love that.
Really?
I ain't got to show up. Y'all niggas can do that
okay.
shit.
Okay. All right. Give us a track. We'll
definitely do it. Write the treatment up. Somebody send the treatment in. All right. Next up, we got Wax in My Tank.
Oh.
Hey, Danny and the Booth Boys. I've been trying to get my girl to shave or preferably wax my chocolate starfish for the better part of last year. She says that's gross and will not help me out. We've been together for a long time, and I've taken care of her hygiene, such as blackheads, ingrown toenails, but she refuses to help me out with this one thing. I don't want to go to a place and have this done because I don't want some stranger working my taint. We tune in every week, and we would love your opinion on the matter. Do you think this is being unreasonable? Much love from El Paso, Hector, and Casey. I ain't got a hairy taint. I'm not, and plus, I'm down with the hair, man. Like, I'm one of the motherfuckers, man. You know,
you like a chick with underarm hair?
I don't mind it.
Yeah.
It's not a deal breaker for me, you know. But I think, you know, I remember coming up when I first got my first little dick hairs. I was proud of myself. Oh. Like I'm becoming a man. Like I was in the mirror combing my shit. Like, you see this bush, bitch? I'm ready to knock some shit down. So I ain't just about to let my shit go like that, you know. So when it comes to the dick hair, I'm keeping my shit.
I've shaved it twice ever, but I'm just let it go. People are like, you got to tighten it up. I'm like, fuck that.
I've did it before, but nigga, that shit itch when it comes back. Like all that shit, man. I ain't doing porn or nothing.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I ain't got to be slanging this motherfucker in front of a camera. You don't got to be that shiny and pristine. You know what I'm saying? This motherfucker, I whip my shit out. It got stitches on it. It's ashy.
Here's my question about that guy. You helped your girlfriend with an ingrown toenail? What the fuck does that mean? He was at home fucking pulling it out?
I mean, bitches get pedicures and shit for that. You know,
I'm calling bullshit. That you go to a doctor for that.
Yeah, but I mean, why you want your taint wax? Is it?
Why do you want your taint wax? And why don't you just go to a taint waxer?
But I'm just saying, why do you want that wax? I mean, she's going to lick that motherfucker hairy or bald.
Yeah, make her lick it clean.
Yeah, I mean, I just don't know. That's like some, you know, I don't know. You might want to see some, I don't know, man. That's some, I don't know who else you want to see this taint. Sounds like you're a one-woman man.
Please send in a picture of your taint from El Paso. We'll put it up on the wall.
I feel like dudes...
dudes waxing their taint, they wear them drawers with the butt out.
The Prince shorts.
You want to wear them drawers with the butt out, like jockstrap type shit, and walk around, and that's what you getting freaky in. I ain't got no clothes I get freaky in. You know what I'm saying?
The Borat, you know that Borat bathing suit?
Yeah, that kind of shit. Yeah. Like you a little too freaky, man, when you got costumes to get freaky. You know, I ain't pre-planning my freak sessions.
I got
like
a
that.
Hairless taint. I got to show it off.
Yeah, definitely, man. If you went through all that work, I'm going to say, if I shave my shit off, I'm showing it. Well, I'm going to keep it to myself, man. Next up, we got Leap of Faith. Hey, Danny and the Booth Boys. I'm 21 and considering moving cross-country from Chicago to somewhere in the Phoenix area. I really want to move away, but I'm scared to leave my grandma. Also, moving alone cross-country seems like a daunting task. Do you have any experience with such a large leap of faith versus taking the path of least resistance? Also, the Southern summer is better than the shitty Midwest summers. Thanks. Love the show. I feel like you're a person. You lived in a lot of different places.
Yeah, you just got to get up and go. And listen, your grandmother's going to die. That's not going to change. She's not getting younger. So hasten it, if anything.
Yeah.
Put some more cholesterol in her food and then get the fuck out of there, you know?
I mean, because this is the only other place I lived outside of Michigan. I mean, I've done stints, like maybe like a few months in New York.
She's crazy about Midwest summers being bad. They're great.
Yeah, it's
the best time to be there.
Because the versus like here, like it's fucking too hot to do anything. Like Midwest summers is like 80 something.
Yeah, that's great. You went from Detroit to here and that's it?
Yeah.
Wow.
I lived in Detroit 40 some years, man.
Damn.
Now you understand how I was an alcoholic now. Now you understand.
What else is there to do?
Yeah, what else there is to do, man? Wow. But I love Michigan, though, man. That's one thing people don't understand. Like, Michigan is a fucking beautiful place. Like, you know, like, Detroit is Detroit. That's what people don't understand. Detroit is its own fucking thing.
Yeah.
But Michigan, man, it's a lot of, you know, I lived in Farmington Hills, which is not too far from, you know, suburbs and shit.
You ever go to UP?
No, that's the one thing I never did. But that's like real white people shit. Right. Ain't no niggas up there in fucking Marquette.
I think they still have slavery there.
You know what I'm saying? Them motherfuckers still riding snowmobiles and shit, you know?
But lady, for real, if you're 21, like, now's the time. If it doesn't work out, you can just go home. You can just go back to Chicago. Like, no harm, no foul, you know?
But Chicago.
But if 10 years goes by and you still don't do it, that's a big harm.
I will say, man, Chicago winters are, man.
Yeah, that
is the fucking, the wind there, like, I mean, I know it's the Windy City, and it got its name for a reason, but, man, the coldest places, one of the coldest places I've ever been was, like, it has been the Midwest, I will say. Fucking Minneapolis and Chicago, hands down. It's like, man.
You wear long johns just to go to 7-Eleven.
Oh, yeah, definitely. You have to.
Fuck this.
You have to. You can't, like, and that's one thing where I was getting at that age where I couldn't take that shit no more, man. Like, literally where you go outside and it aches your fucking bones. Like
it hurts? You try to smoke out there and you're like, this isn't worth it.
No, it's not.
Take your grandmother out on a cold day for a long walk. She probably just won't come home, and then you're free to go to Phoenix.
Oh my God, man. All right. Are you a crazy motherfucker, man? Ranking your music. As a big fan of your work, I'm always curious how artists make Off the Beaten Path records rank their discography. How would you rank yours dating back to Hot Soup James? No, man, I'm not ranking my fucking music, man. That's every album I look at is like my kid. That's like saying what kid you like the best. Well, of course, we have a kid that we like the best, but you can't say that shit in public. You got to keep that shit to yourself. Yeah. I mean, do you do shit like that with your sets, man? Like, this is my best set. This is my worst set. Like, I can't, you know?
No, but hold on. Favorite jokes, least favorite jokes. Damn, could we do that? I don't know.
Because I feel like you got to go through one to get to the other.
True.
You know, so like they all like a path with me, man. I can't make this album if I didn't make this album.
Yeah,
you know?
Do you ever have a song that you're like, it was just okay?
Yeah, I got a lot of songs like that. I wouldn't publicly say them. You know what I'm saying? Like, I keep that shit to myself. And a lot of those songs, there's a lot of people that probably really like that shit. And then now you tell them you don't like it, then it just fucking warped their perception of the shit.
Yeah.
You know, so no, I let people have their Christmas, man. I'm not about to fucking be Grinch.
I remember when Sheryl Crow came out, and that Every Day is a Winding Road came out, and it was like a big pop song. And then people were like, she actually hates that song. And I was like, but not so much that she didn't record it.
I can't say I know too many Sheryl Crow songs.
Sheryl's got to go back.
That was not
She's
my...
She's aging well.
I was more of a Tori Amos kind of guy.
Oh, she was the best.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, Little Earthquakes.
A bad bitch, man.
Little Earthquakes.
You know what I'm saying?
Singing deep songs about her. Her covers of Nirvana were like, what? You didn't even know what song it was till halfway through.
But I will say my favorite female artist is Bjork.
I just put her on this week.
Which one?
Debut and then post.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I always go through, I always get a Bjork phase like once a year, man. And
you go back and listen to that. I'm like, it's experimental. I don't
know what you mean?
I don't know how she was on radio. I was in college. So I was like, oh, this is just a song.
Oh,
I'm
yeah.
Like,
I can't.
Weird sounds.
I can't agree with you on that. Like, now that shit ain't happening now.
No way.
That shit is not happening now.
No guitar, just like wind chimes as her background.
She's a fucking genius. And just, and for her to be producing all that shit, you know?
Yeah.
You ever seen that video with her talking about the TV? It's one of my favorite videos on YouTube. She breaks down the TV and shit. It's hilarious.
Breaks down what,
man.
TV in general?
She just tell you how fucking TV works. Can we watch that video? I feel like we can.
What?
There she go. Bjork talking about a TV.
Hello. It is Christmas time and I'm sitting here by my TV. I've been watching it very much lately because I'm on a holiday and I've been seeing all those programs. But all sorts of things.
She's such a bad bitch.
Icelandics being very happy about Christmas, very gay, and also very serious and spiritual. And also seeing Icelandic comic people making jokes, which they are very good at. But now I'm curious. I've switched the TV off. And now I want to see how it operates. How it can make... put me into all those weird situations.
Wow. What? She's just gonna...
It's about time.
Yeah, she opened her TV.
What?
This bitch is crazy.
She's the weirdest lady in the world. No one remembers how fucking weird Bjork is.
Yeah, remember she choked that bitch out that one time?
See.
I went by her house once in Reykjavik. What the fuck?
This is what it looks like. Look at this.
She's so happy. She's so happy.
It's like a little model of a city. And all the houses which are here. And streets. This is maybe an elevator.
I watch this video at least once a year.
And here are all the wires. These wires. They really take care of all the electrons when they come through here. They take care of that they are powerful enough to get all the way through here. I read that in a Danish book this morning. This beautiful television has put me, like I said before, in all sorts of situations. I remember being very scared to it because an Icelandic poet told me that not like in cinemas where the thing that throws the picture from it just sends lights on the screen, but this is different. This is millions and millions of little screens who send lights on me, some sort of light. I'm not really sure, but because there's so many of them,
I love the fucking mics in the shot too.
Very, very many frames when you're watching TV, your head is very busy all the time to calculate and put it all together into one picture. And then, because you're so busy doing that, you don't watch very carefully what the program that you're watching is really about. So you become hypnotized. So all that's on TV, it just goes directly into your brain. You stop judging if it's right or not. You just swallow and swallow. This is what an Icelandic poet told me once. And I became so scared to television that I always got headaches when I watched it. But then later on, when I got my Danish book on television, I stopped being afraid because
she was afraid of it.
That's the truth. And that's the scientific truth, which is much better. You shouldn't let poets lie to you.
Ah,
oh my God.
Bars.
Who is that Icelandic poet?
I know, right?
Yeah.
So you said you went to her crib?
I went past it. My buddy's a comic there. He started the Icelandic scene. Ariel John. It might be his dad that she's talking about. His dad was an Icelandic poet. They all know each other. The whole art scene in Iceland and Reykjavik, they all, the comics, the filmmakers, the music, they're all just like friends.
Because
they're all like sponsored by the state.
Yeah.
So they all just hang out. It's crazy.
Yeah. I've been to Iceland a few times. It's fucking beautiful there,
it's
man.
It's the best.
It's fucking freezing too. And they get fucked up out there too, man.
They drink.
I've had some great times.
Yeah.
I've had some great times in Iceland.
Yeah.
Some bitches stole my clothes one time.
In the rake? Really?
Yeah, man. Like, what the fuck?
I woke up, my clothes was gone. Like, where the fuck my clothes is at? All right, whatever, man.
It is the clothes of a dark visitor. We never have his hair.
I was like, what the fuck?
Thick just, like corn.
It was a fucking Jeremy Scott jogging suit too, man. Goddamn.
Oh, really?
All right.
Yeah.
Next up, we got the hoes were scared.
Icelandic bitches, send that shit back. You don't need it anymore.
Bitches, they like Bjork, man. They all talk like that too.
Yeah, they do. You know, they got an app. They got an app to see if you're your cousin. You're fucking your cousin.
Really?
Yeah, because everyone's so related there. That they're like, we gotta see before we start breeding.
It was beautiful though. I did go to the. It was like a restaurant inside, like an ice situation, like an ice cave.
Damn, really?
There's a restaurant inside. That shit was dope as fuck. But all right, the hoes were scared. Hey, Danny, I saw you and Peggy live in Austin last weekend, and it was wild. I love the show, but it opened my eyes to something that's recently been troubling me. I was hoping I could talk to some girls at your concert. While waiting in line, I quickly realized that there were barely any cute girls in the area. The hoes must actually be scared. During the show, I almost passed out from conducting heat off this 500-pound woman next to me. I've never met a pretty girl who shared my music taste. Do I need to settle for a 500-pound girl who has great taste in music at one of your concerts, or do pretty girls like real music exist? Love you, Danny. Can't wait for Coranta. No, it's definitely pretty girls.
Yeah, it's just Austin's disgusting.
Like, cool shit.
It's this whole town is full of gross, fat cowboy bitches. But but in New York, there were tons of fine women.
Yeah.
Just not here.
I really feel like they packed it in. I don't know if they oversold tickets. Like, they was like, fuck that shit. Y'all motherfuckers gonna get up in there. But it was a great time, though. I had fun. But it did get a little scary for a little bit.
For the heat.
Yeah, just seeing motherfuckers. Because it was like multiple people passed out. I seen like a few people. And just, you know, when you seeing like girls, you know, they want to get up close. So they on the gate. And then you got to think, like Texas, like motherfuckers come to early, wait in line in that fucking heat.
Been out all day.
Then they finally get up in there like, you like spent 7 hours being in the fucking sun.
And you know you should get a water, but I'm getting off my spot.
Yeah,
so
that's the thing.
Then you're dangerous.
Like, I've never been through that, thankfully. I'm an artist, so but I've seen people like, they come so early just to get that fucking spot. But it's like, man, I mean, I love the dedication, but it wouldn't be me, though.
I'm like, oh, that's cool. No, thanks.
Wouldn't be me, though.
It's funny when you see heat exhaustion, too. It makes people barf, but it makes them look like they're just drunk, so nobody helps them. But they're like, they need someone to drag them inside.
Yeah, I've never, oh, no, I fainted once from heat exhaustion.
Really?
Yeah, I was working at Technicolor.
What's that?
It's like this it's like one of those temporary services jobs.
Yeah.
And we used to fucking it's like a, you know, like a fucking working on a conveyor belt, like that kind of shit. And I was just smoking weed on my lunch break, didn't eat because I was broke as fuck. Instead of buying lunch, I bought weed.
Nice.
Smoke.
Smart. That's how you get ahead.
To a hot ass factory.
Kids. Yeah.
Fainted and they fired my ass. I think that was the last job I had.
Really?
Yeah.
You're like, I just don't think I'm set up for this world.
I'm not built for labor at all, man. I'm not.
You ever Earthquake had a joke about it? He goes, I couldn't be a slave. It was too hot down there.
No, they would have killed me.
He goes, if I was a slave, they'd be like, hey, get to work. He'd be like, master, pick a tree. Goes, I'm not doing this.
All right, man. Next up, we got white people shit.
Nice.
Stay fairs.
White people shit.
Hey, Danny, Minnesota has one of the largest state fairs in the country, but do you think that's white people shit? Would you ever perform at a state fair? Love the podcast. Congratulations on sobriety. Carter. No, I don't think state fair is white people shit.
You don't think so?
I love state fairs.
They're the best.
Michigan, we got our own state fair. I mean, I guess every place has their own state fair. I love that you get the fucking elephant ears and shit.
You get the giant drumstick.
Yeah. Like
big
just,
turkey drumstick.
I just be eating all type of shit. I actually got into a fight at our state fair.
Really?
Yeah. With one of my friends, man.
Oh, okay.
He called my girlfriend a bitch. This high school shit. He called my girlfriend a bitch. I was like, when I see him, I'm going to fuck him up.
You saw him.
We still friends to this day. Shouts out my homie. That's how you know you got a real friend when you
dude,
fight.
State fairs rule, and you're like, you want to see a giant squash? You're like, okay.
The fucking rides are sketchy though.
Oh, they're not up to code.
Cause they got,
you see them?
They got to fucking build them shit to like a few days. They fucking traveling and shit. Mm-hmm. Like I've never trusted a state
they're
fair.
They're drunk
Ferris
when
wheel.
They put them together.
Like no, I'm cool on that. But yeah, for the most part, I love just going and eating all this shit. I mean. I've never, you know, I don't know if is it alcohol at state fairs?
I think so.
Oh, yeah, motherfuckers
I think
be drunk.
So.
I'm glad. Yeah. See, I've never been in my alcoholic arc.
County fairs are where it's really
what's,
at.
What's the difference?
Low level.
County fairs?
County.
I never heard of a county fair.
Yeah, they're just like a way smaller version of the state fair.
In Michigan, we actually had our own state fairgrounds.
Oh, really?
So it was just actually like just, that was a call.
Just for that.
Just for the State Fair every year.
Wow.
And that my, was my favorite. Should always go. And which we get, you ever heard like elephant ears? You know
what are the big like churro? But like
they were pretty much, I guess they're pretty much like funnel cakes.
Yeah, it's Ottawa's like chief.
But they're fucking huge. And yeah. Every year I would just love to fucking go to the fucking State Fair to get an elephant.
I love seeing the fat people, the extremely fat people on scooters and shit. They love State Fairs.
Yeah, you know they're not having
that's that. A white person thing. Fat scooters. Am I wrong or no?
Fat scooters? No. Yeah.
It's, black people are into fat, that too? Black,
yeah, you be in Walmart, you see the motherfuckers. They,
I love it.
They be fighting for them motherfuckers, man.
Nice.
That was one of my favorite videos during the whole fucking Black Lives Matter shit. That white lady on the scooter that got hit with the fucking fire extinguisher. That was the best shit ever, man.
What are they just fucking?
No, they sprayed it with the fire extinguisher. Because they was fucking looting the Walmart or some shit or whatever, a Target or something. She was trying to stop the motherfuckers up while she was on the scooter. They just sprayed her ass. So that was great. All right, we'll get about to get up out of here in a minute, man. Ari, man.
Yeah, buddy.
You got fucking, I seen you got, you about to release Jew on vinyl?
Yeah, I'm designing the vinyl now, but it's hard because I don't want to do it cheap, and I want to make it look good.
Yeah.
So you got to find the right distributor or like promote to producer or whatever.
Yeah.
So press it right.
Yeah,
but the album's out now.
The vinyl thing is turning into a sketchy business, man. Because I noticed that this past run, like a lot of kids would bring their fucking vinyl to the shows.
Yeah.
And they would want you to sign them. And they feel like, you know, I brought your record, motherfucker, sign this shit. But what I've noticed that these motherfuckers selling them.
Yeah.
They not even, because if any motherfucker that you really love vinyl and you really collect records and shit, that shit don't leave a house. You know what I'm saying?
What?
They don't leave the house. I'm not taking my vinyl outdoors, man. This shit is my collection.
Right.
I'm not fucking.
I'll tell you what though. My new thing is because I got enough shirts now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my new thing is if they got a record, a band's got a record, then I'm buying it. If they put on a great show.
Yeah, yeah.
I saw this band, the Heavy, just a small new, I think British band, and then they were selling, but they were signing them too. They were like still young enough. They're running out there, and I was like, oh, you get. Someone you saw with their signature on your record, you can play. I'm like, I fucking love that.
And that was the thing too. We had signed vinyl at the stores. I mean, at the shows, at the merch table. So it was like, man, why would I sign your vinyl and this? You can fucking buy one for $100. Just go to the merch table.
Yeah, look, it's like this isn't even worn in.
Yeah,
this isn't even worn in.
I did sign a few, but I didn't know that at the point that they were fucking selling them.
No, that
and
sucks.
It was just, yeah, it's like, that oh sucks. Man, like what the fuck? Because I don't know. It kind of just ruined my spirits about
you
it.
You want to be
know?
Like, hey, I'll sign it, but I get to bend the edge so you can't get full price for it.
And then it was one show. It was like Florida or something, and it rained.
Yeah.
So motherfuckers, vinyl, they hold their record. This motherfucker was just getting destroyed. Oh. But it was a great time, man. And then, you know, Peggy liked to throw water off stage and shit, so they just getting
like,
their fucking...
Stop it, my vinyl. Stop.
They're getting their records destroyed, man. So fuck that shit. So where you at tonight, man?
I'm at the Mothership. You want to come by? Just Ari and friends.
Yeah, I pull up.
Okay. Soder's there. Gomez is there.
Hell yeah, I pull up.
And then I'm doing my hour tomorrow, but this will be in the past. But
I would want to, I would want to come to see the hour.
Yeah.
Shit, yeah.
Okay, come on Wednesday.
So that's tomorrow?
That's tomorrow, yeah.
All right, at the Mothership?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I'll come tomorrow. I want to see the hour. Fuck that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That'll
fuck
be better.
Shit. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I don't care about them niggas doing that same joke for three years. I want to see the new shit. All right, man. Let's spin the wheel one time. We'll get out of here.
Okay. What is this? Something to, what? Tell me the setup of this.
We just spin the wheel. It's going to land on the topic.
Yeah.
And we're going to riff on it. Energy drinks. I will say, ever since I've stopped drinking, I've been drinking energy drinks a lot more.
It used to be the way you could tell who's a sober alcoholic.
Really?
Monster Energy or the Gives You Wings, whatever that one is.
Red Bull.
Yeah, it was like, oh, you don't drink? They're like, how'd you know that? That's all who would drink.
Yeah, because like even when I go out, like I have to like have, because I think now because you know you was running on that fuel. Mm-hmm. And that would keep you up. So now I'm like about 10 p.m. I'm sleepy as fuck after all the fucking years of not sleeping and doing those benders and shit. So now I've been catching up on sleeping shit. So
I would love to see you get addicted to energy drinks.
I think I'm already kind of, it's kind of being a thing. Even my girl telling me like, no, not healthy. You need
to
stop drinking
those
shit.
You're going to be talking on the podcast and you're just going to go.
Like even like I drank a Red Bull before I came here today.
Really? It does give you wings though.
I mean, it helps, man. But I did notice though that if I drink too many, like during the day. Yeah, and it, I just can't fall asleep now.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Now
yeah.
it's just like all of them hit me at one time kind of thing. Yeah. So I've been kind of, yeah, it's almost like some of them shits could be worse than doing coke, I feel
it's
like.
It's also for like trash people, to be honest.
Is it?
Yeah, a monster is like the sign.
No,
of
I've
like,
never drank monster. Just because of the negative connotation.
It, right? It's just kind of like, it's like you're seeing a Von Dutch guy come at you.
I've just seen the type of people that drink Monster, and I'm like, I'm not like them motherfuckers, so exactly. I just never drink.
I'm associated with that.
I'm classy. I drink sugar-free Red Bulls. Oh, you nice. Know, I keep it classy.
But you're high level.
But yeah, I also, you know, I get so caught up in going down these YouTube rabbit holes. They say Monster has like some satanic imagery and all kind of weird shit. So.
Really?
No, man. It's a conspiracy theory, man. But yeah.
I know these like major brands they think hides deep satanic rituals.
Look, Monster Energy promotes Satan.
Wow.
So yeah, that's why, you know, fuck Satan. I got a Bible in my bag right now.
Why don't these Satanists come out the way the fucking Chick-fil-A guy comes out? I was like, yeah, we're deep into Satan.
Yeah, man. But yeah, so I don't fuck with the Monster Energy drinks, man. Look at it. It's like
oh, I get it.
Yeah, it's a little.
Do you ever see, here's a great video.
Have you ever drank Monster?
Like once.
How do they taste? Are they good?
Sweet, too sweet.
Oh.
It's a sign of
trash. I do see fat motherfuckers be drinking them shits too.
Mm-hmm. And it makes them think it's like diet, even though it's not. Oh. It's like good for you, they think, but not.
I almost feel like the sugar-free Red Bulls are kind of like a gimmick, man. Because it would be tasting like sugar being them. Them motherfuckers
like
are sweet too.
Less sugar Red Bull. Or like, what's in the place of that? No sugar. Just death.
But even they say like the sweetener replacements are like damn near worse than sugar, like aspartame and all that kind of
shit. I used to get crazy migraines off that. I couldn't figure it out.
So really?
A chick I was dating at the time was like, it's that fucking lemonade you drink.
So you would prefer to drink coffee over an energy drink?
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. I know what coffee will get me.
Yeah.
$5 right. poorer. Hey, you want to hear a fun thing about mm-hmm. Satan?
A fun thing about Satan?
Yeah. So Mr. T got hella religious mm-hmm. at some point, and he went off on something no one cared about, which is college sports teams having satanic names.
Oh, like the Duke Blue Devils?
Exactly. How are you going to root for the Blue Devils on Saturday and come out and root for Jesus on Sunday? And everyone in the stands is like, dude, this isn't really an issue. For like,
I guess you are right. It ain't like no, it ain't no team's name, Christ. Like,
no, there's none. Like, there's none. There's no angels.
Like, I guess there's an angel.
Oh, there is an angel.
What the fuck?
Yeah, good point. Shout out Anaheim.
All right, man, we up out this motherfucker. Thank you, Ari, so much for coming through.
Dude, thanks for having me on
your
show.
So fucking fun,
fucking
man.
Loved it. Inspirational. Best show I've ever seen in my life.
No, you ain't got it. You ain't got a lot of them.
I've been to a lot of best shows I've ever seen in my life, and that was one of them.
But yeah, but thank you so much. That was great for you to come through, man. I love you, man. Coming to your shit tomorrow, definitely, though. I got to check you out, man. So yeah, man, we up out this motherfucker. Love you, motherfuckers. See you next week. Peace.